Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. Make sure you check out my website, Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds, Tuttle.net. When you go to that website, you're going to be able to find every single place you'll be able to find me when it comes to social media, my YouTube page, every single thing. It's one-stop shopping for everything Tuttle. Want to get into a real quick, one of my favorite stories that I have heard in a really, really long time. It's about this trailer park swinging community that's being opened up in Louisiana, and their tagline is, bring your house, share your spouse.
Shares the news of a trailer park and campground gaining attention and getting ready to swing in to southern Louisiana.
Does the local news media, I know that they're not paying for comedy writers, but are they just picking out an intern to write puns or double entendres? We're going to swing on by the Swingers Trailer Park? I mean, it's pretty goddamn corny. Just give me the news. I don't need jokes. I mean, if you're going to do jokes, at least make sure that they're funny.
Bring your house and share your spouse. That is the motto of this soon-to-be trailer park and campground for swingers. Don't believe me? Take a look at the sign for yourself.
And I could already tell what the program director was doing at this local TV news station. You could tell that it's a very, very small market. But they were going to send the woman out there just hoping that the guy, the owner, which he is Cajun as hell, very Creole. Like, I mean, I actually had a hard time understanding him. But if you're not from the South, you definitely are going to have a hard time hearing him. But they were hoping that this guy would be like, all right, come on over, dude. Do you want to try it? Do you remember that story that I talked about a couple of months ago? That reporter in the Netherlands that was covering a swingers club. And she wanted to, like, be a real reporter and find out how things went. And she actually had sex to be able to find out what it was like to be a swinger.
You can come to Mamu for many good things. This will be one of them.
David O'Gwen is opening T-Boy Swingers Trailer Park.
T-Boy's Swinger Trailer Park seems real reputable. I mean, like, hey, where are you going this week? Oh, I'm going over to T-Boy's, where they say, bring your house, share your spouse.
For that's right, swingers. He says the swinger community is surprisingly bigger than you may think.
Bigger than most will know. Live free and don't be scared of it. There's a big community of it. I think a bunch of them is not shy. The ones that are shy, hell with them. Roll with it.
And, I mean, that's a great sound drop. To hell with it. Roll with it. They're like, yeah, come on. Be out. Be proud about being a swinger. And that's the thing about it. I've never understood this. A lot of people give Brent and his wife, Caitlin, a lot of hate. But I got to tell you, I mean, you could not meet two nicer people. A lot of people want to just judge Brent. And I know that most of it is radio trolls and stuff like that. And I did send this story to Brent. I don't know if he'll use it or not, but I thought this would be a great topic for them to discuss. But, I mean, the swingers do get a bad look. They get a bad image. They get judged because people think, oh, because they share partners, that they're bad people. No, actually, you want me to be honest? I would rather hang out with a bunch of swingers than any Christians all day, every day.
Good thing compared to most things.
Since putting up this sign, Oakland's gotten calls from swingers across the country.
We have got some from Pennsylvania. We have got some from Arkansas. Of course, all around Acadiana, all around Mamou, Ville Platte, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Slidell.
This guy straight up sounds like a character on Swamp People. You know that show where they go out alligator hunting? Yeah, I mean, he could easily, and guess what? He probably is an alligator hunter. Alligator hunting and swinging sounds like a fucking hell of a great time.
We have text messages from all over the country. It's mind-boggling.
He says they're getting so many calls, they can barely keep up with it.
Most of them call or text just to see if it's real. Just to see if somebody's going to answer, because they're going to say, oh, no, nobody's there. Not a real number. Or they'll get on Facebook, oh, it's not a real number. I got on there and I said, I'd be a fat frog's butt if it's not a real number.
Fat frog butt. I mean, everybody grew up with a Southern father that had a saying, like, if it rained really, really hard, and my dad, you know, I never got it. Because when I got older, I liked to watch the weather as well, too. But we had a front porch. My dad would go out on the front porch and watch it rain. And he'd be like, man, I tell you what, it's raining like pouring piss out of a boot on a flat rock. Yeah, that was a phrase that my dad used every single time during a humongous rainstorm.
Everybody starts calling. And they start calling, hey, what's y'all address? Where is it? Is this in my room? Where's this at? Yes, it is.
The sign for this swingers community says you have to send a picture of your spouse for approval, but Oquan says...
That was more of a joke to kind of ease up the people and...
Once again, this is a part of cancel culture, the Me Too movement. This is a swingers trailer park. I mean, it's one thing to go to a swingers club, but it's another thing to go to a swinging trailer park. Like, seriously, swinging already happens at trailer parks without it actually being titled as a swinging trailer park. So what I'm trying to say is that this is an amazing idea. It puts all the cards on the table. There are no, like, mixed signals or whatever. And the guy's just making a joke about having to send in a picture of your spouse or your wife for approval, and people are up in arms about that.
Just to create a vibe, people went further with it than you would imagine. We've gotten many pictures and many phone calls.
Okay, I like this guy's hustle. I mean, even if he meant it as a joke, I mean, I see where he's coming from. He threw it out there. I mean, it's kind of like chumming the waters while you're out trying to catch fish. He was like, all right, you got to send a picture of your spouse as just a joke, just in case people would start sending nude pictures of their old ladies to be able to get accepted into the swinging T-Boy trailer park, where if you bring your house, you got to share your spouse.
And many a text, voicemails, unreal.
And Oakland says that's for the haters.
Sucks to be them. There's no reason to be mad at anybody for their preference and not out here hurting nobody. Nobody's selling drugs here.
Air quotes, nobody is selling drugs here. That doesn't mean nobody's doing drugs. Because, you know, like if you're swinging and you're on methamphetamines, you probably want your swinging partner to be on methamphetamines as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's no selling of drugs. I mean, there might be a giving of drugs, handshake, putting drugs in another person's hand. Yeah, no selling, just giving.
People know nothing.
If I'm being honest, I'm not a grammar Nazi, but that is one of the worst double negatives that I've ever said. No, it ain't no nothing. It ain't no nothing. Yeah, that is one of the biggest double negatives that I've ever heard. But you know what? I'm not judging this guy. You know what? I would like to party with this guy if I wasn't sober.
To have a good time. Enjoy themselves the way they want to. This is perfectly what it is.
Now, it's none of my business what our viewers do in y'all's personal time, but if you are wondering when this Swingers Trailer Park is going to be open, the grand opening is set for Memorial Weekend of 2022.
Vulture, when you listen to this, can we look into getting the owner of T-Boy's Swinging Trailer Park on? Because I'm down to make a road trip to be able to cover the grand opening of T-Boy's Swinging Trailer Park Club. I mean, I think it would be amazing content. I mean, I would do just audio. I mean, I would respect their privacy and all. I just want to go out there and interview people and find out why they were drawn to spend money at T-Boy's Swinging Trailer Park.
Reporting in Mamou, Britt LaFosso, Caleb Y, News 10.
And that's the thing about it. A lot of people want to judge the swingers. I mean, why are we not judging the Christians? Especially the Catholic Church, that's not doing a goddamn thing about the pedophilia, the child abuse, all that good stuff. I know it's not good, but all the stuff that's going on there, nobody cares about that. But when two consenting adults want to hook up with two other consenting adults, oh, that is wrong. You're going to hell. You're being judged. And I think that we have our priorities a little mixed up in our country. I feel like prostitution should be legal all throughout the United States. I mean, who is it for the government to say what you can or cannot do with your own body? And if you have an agreement with somebody, all right, you're going to give me $300 and I'm going to let you have sex with me. I really don't see or have a problem with it. You want to know why the government has a problem with it? Because they will have a hard time taxing it. And it all just circles back to money. And that's exactly what it is. Sodomy is actually against the law in some states in our country. I mean, it's just complete, absolute hypocrisy at its finest. Going to take a quick break. Charlie Alamo is going to join me after the break. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans, past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I got to admit a little something. I got a little bored waiting for my next guest. I'm not blaming him like he's late or anything, but I maybe overdid it a little bit because I smoked some. I got really high. But let me just bring my guest on. Charlie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I had to kick out with the 30 milligram Adderall.
Because you smoked up a little too much?
Yeah. And see, you know what? Like it brought me back to when I first started smoking weed. I had no papers, no blunts or anything like that. So I had to take a Sprite Zero can with a thumbtack and fashion one. And I know that that's probably not good for you. The paint and everything that's on the can, making them. But I mean, when you want to smoke, you'll do what you need to do.
Oh, I've made plenty of them. And actually, if you pop the pull tab, the tab that you use to open it off and fold the thing down, it sharpens it. And you can use that to poke everything. So you never need a tack. That's even worse that I know that.
Like my friend Addy, the organic vegetable farmer, like she swears up and down that she could make an apple bong, but like I never ever got a good hit out of one of these apple bongs that they make or pipes. Have you ever like seen anybody that can really, really make one of those?
Not a bong, but I smoked out of a few apple pipes. The thing with those is that they're basically a one and done, because if you do it right, you can, if you take a razor blade when you carve out in the apple part to make a bowl, you can actually shave it really thin and use part of the apple, little thin part of the apple skin as like a
carb?
Kind of like a filter. So it doesn't burn the bowl all the way down through the hole. No, you do make a carb, of course, on the side with whatever you're using to bore out the apple. But no, I agree. I definitely agree with you that more times out of not, anything made out of fruit to smoke out of, not good.
Yeah, dude. But I had to kick out because you're more of a pro toker or smoker than I am. Like, do you ever forget that you have something really important to do and maybe got a little too high?
Yes. That's why I don't do dabs all the time too, because those will get you just baked out of your mind. Smoking flower, as it's called, which I thought is stupid because you're not smoking the flower part, you're smoking the actual buds of it. But anyway.
Well, that's a hipster buzzword that they like to use now.
They use it at dispensaries. They don't call it bud. Some of them do, but they're like, what kind of flower can we get you there? It's like, I want weed. I want some goddamn bud. Pick that shit. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to call shit whatever. If you don't want my money, then don't sell me a bong, because that's what it is. I'm not going to call it a water pipe, because that sounds retarded. Water pipe, whatever. It's, what are you using to smoke with? How are you getting too high? Are you just loading too big
a joint?
What are you doing? Because if you're smoking a joint, I can understand that. It's kind of hard to put them out.
I know. But the thing is that I've been smoking the vape pens a little bit.
Yeah, There you go.
And I hadn't smoked like the bud. I'm not going to say flower, but there's a little bit of a difference. There is.
Yes. Ripping down the pens, the carts and stuff like that. There definitely is. I like that more for a work type thing because they're discreet, but you can definitely, especially the one that I have, it doesn't have a button or anything to hit. You just draw on it. You start fucking puffing on that thing. You forget what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You think you're like, oh man, this is a nicotine pen. Oh no, it's actually THC.
No, and I don't smoke nicotine too, but I see those people just ripping it. And then that's the worst, dude. When you hand it to somebody that actually smokes like a regular vape, they fucking rip down your cart like goddamn fucking. I was like, that's weed. That's not fucking your stupid juices that you can get anywhere, you dumbass. You're like, oh geez, I didn't know. Sorry. I'm like, oh, there goes half of it in a big cloud of smoke that you wasted.
All right. So the Adderall is finally kicking in a little bit here. So I'm ready to go. All right, here we go. So earlier I played a news story about a swinger trailer park, and their catchphrase is bring your house, share your spouse. It's a pretty good tagline, I got to admit.
It is catchy. I'm not going to lie.
What state do you think this would happen in?
Oh, if I had to guess, I would say the great state of Florida.
No.
Really?
No, but I mean, see, I love that.
Is it a southern state?
Yes, southeast. Yep. Yeah, southeast.
I don't think Georgia would be into something like that. Maybe Louisiana?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that right there. And the audio I play is great because the guy that started it, it still doesn't open until Memorial Day 2022. But he is, my dad used to say this all the time. You would call the backwoods Louisiana guys. Have you ever heard the term coon dick?
No, I have not.
Mm-hmm. There was a guy that I played baseball with. His dad would carry around a raccoon dick toothpick.
Oh, so it's actually the raccoon's dick?
Yeah.
And he would pick his teeth with it?
Yeah, because it gets really, really hard when they dry it out. And I got to tell you, I mean, the guy had some great looking teeth.
Well, he's got a dick pick. I mean, how bad are your teeth going to be? That's kind of weird, though. I mean, this guy's just over there picking his teeth with an old dried up raccoon dick.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I swear to God.
I mean, isn't there anything else you could use? Normal toothpick just will not do.
Can't use a hog's penis because that's, have you ever seen a hog's dick?
No, but if it does anything like the ears when they dry it up, I don't think you want to be sticking that in your mouth.
No, it is like a Dremel drill with a corkscrew on the end of it. Like, I mean, it does. When it comes out, it's like twisting around like a corkscrew.
Oh, my God. It's like a fucking wine opener on the end of a fucking
drill. Yes. Yes. Swear to God. So, but back to what I was saying, though. Is that this audio, you know, and they give it to this female reporter and they do like all the buzzwords or like double entendres because the anchors are throwing it to them. And it was like, let's swing on over to our reporter that is going to be taught, you know, swingers.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. News like that is already behind the times. And then when they do little stuff like that, don't do your zingers. We're watching this to get the actual news, not to for your fucking little laugh hour on the fucking on the airway.
Wouldn't news be better if they did have a comedy writer on the staff that wasn't like writing like offensive jokes, but actually good like puns?
They need somebody there punching up some of the stuff that they talk about, because I mean, a lot of those people, especially around here, you get a lot of fucking C or B team people. The B team.
That's where they start. It's their first.
Yeah, those
first TV job.
The ones that stay here, that don't go anywhere, that really don't have any talent, those are the ones to watch because they fuck shit up.
Oh, yeah.
Out in the field and they don't know what they're talking about. Those are the ones also that think that they're hilarious. And you're just like, come on, you've been here for 20 plus years. You're not going anywhere, especially in Montana.
No, but you do every once in a while get that grizzled veteran that never wanted to leave the area, but is actually good at what they do. And they've been there. Like, there's this chick, like, she is such a big deal. Like, she tells him what county because she does not want to travel very far. But like, I swear to God, since the fourth grade, the reporter Claire Metz in Volusia County, I'll send you a link to some of her stuff, but she is so amazing. And, you know, for the most part, when it comes to news, when you get old as a woman, they try to get you right out the door.
Oh, yeah.
And what I'm trying to say is Claire Metz, maybe a little, you know, been too much in the Florida sun, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
At her age. But she's good at what she does. So, like, does it mean that a female reporter is better if she's ugly, like ugly and older?
Sometimes. I mean, look at the Fabulous Sports Babe. She was no looker, and she was one of the top female sports talk hosts in general, just not even being a female, you know what I mean? So I guess it does help. I do think it's fucked up that they push a lot of the older women out in the news.
Oh, they leave the men there, though. Like, they'll have a guy like the Crypt Keeper doing the weather.
And it's very, I never liked that because, you know, that old creeper is just hitting on the young weather girl or whoever else they got there. When realistically, if they would have just kept Nancy or whoever, you know, in there, it probably would have been a lot better work environment. Maybe not so much now with, you know, everybody calling everybody out on it and any little thing. But I still just, there was this lady on Wake Up Montana here, the terrible morning show.
Wait, you guys have Wake Up Montana? Like, I mean, yeah. So it covers the whole state. Like, it's not like we have Wake Up Orlando, Wake Up Tampa. Like, we got Wake Up in different cities. You guys are so desolate that it's just Wake Up Montana.
They combined all the Wake Up towns into one to Wake Up Montana. So they have reporters in.
It was like Voltron. It was like Voltron or something.
Yeah,
like they just basically formed.
They harness all the shitty news from all these tiny towns into one shittier news story with geriatrics that give it to you in a delivery that makes you want to go insane. So, but she was on, this lady Becky Hillier was on there, and she, I'd watch it in the morning, and she wore way too much makeup. She would laugh at her own jokes that didn't make any sense. She was somebody that I was actually glad they pushed down. Although one day when I went to turn it on, I was like, where'd she go? She's not on here anymore. And I'm not watching it for the guy that was drunk, this guy Dave Rice, who looked like he was hungover every time. I call him Dave Pork Fry.
We had an engineer named Dave Rice at iHeart here in Orlando.
See, was he a drunk?
No. He was actually pretty cool.
He was better off than this guy.
And then we had this guy we had an engineer called Lube from Yugoslavia. And like, he would, you know what? Their comedy might be like a lot behind us, but I mean, it was so bad, but it was his delivery. That proves delivery is so important because, you know, with his broken, you know, English accent and everything, just the way he would tell a corny ass joke, we would just laugh our asses off at the whole time.
Well, I mean, how could you not laugh at somebody that was from a defunct country?
I know, but it was great. But back to the trailer park thing.
Yes.
Isn't that a little bit redundant? Because there's a lot of swinging going on in trailer parks already. It could be for drugs, could be for money, whatever, you know. But I do think it's kind of redundant.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know why the Hatleys don't jump on that. I mean, New Orleans, isn't Brent a big Saints fan? And
yeah, I need, you know what? Thank you. I'm going to send that story to Brent.
I mean, that's... And his show's wrapping up too, so it's something good for him to talk about.
Wait, it's wrapping up? Well, I mean, why?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows with him?
Do you want to know? You want to hear the rumor I heard?
Oh, rumor time on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
That Brent's going to be working behind the scenes at the BRN. That I'm not saying it's true, but I have heard from certain people that Brent will be working behind the scenes. I don't know why he wouldn't be on the air at all, but that's why I kind of don't believe it.
Yeah, that, maybe he's just kind of done with everything. I know that people tend to troll and harass him.
Oh, they do, man. I feel bad, but Brent does, man. He does get trolled. You know, I had been blocked by Brent for like 8 years until I was on his show and I was like, hey, man, you know, like I would tag you on the appearance and stuff, but you have me blocked on Twitter. He was like, well, I didn't even know that. I think it might have been during the MJ trial that I blocked you.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I liked
And there's no Brent Hatley hate. I love Brent Hatley.
I loved him on the early Serious Bubba shows and stuff like that. But I don't know. People got a lot of spare time and they choose to use it as hate. I don't really give a shit. I find shit like that, especially, well, nobody hates me. I'm not even anybody to hate on. But
we got a hate voicemail for Ciroc, but nothing for you. And I know you're the type of person that would like welcome the hate.
Yeah, I know. Why is it? Because I'm white.
I made that comment. I mean, it is you are like really super white because you live up in Montana.
I know. I'm like almost translucent white, and this is ridiculous. If anybody should be hated on, it's me.
Hey, did you feel any of that earthquake they had up in Alaska?
No, not this time, but there
it was 8.2. They from what I'm hearing.
There has been a lot of earthquakes here recently. We had one last year that was kind of big. It happened up in the mountains. It's weird because there's like...
What does it feel like?
Well, the ones that I remember, because I was actually in the one in 89 in the Bay Area. Because that's
during the World Series one?
Yeah, my dad was working for the Giants at the time, and he actually... I was at home with my mom apparently, and they had just had me not too long ago. So I don't know if I was sick or something, but my dad stayed home, which was ironic because he was supposed to be on that fucking freeway that collapsed that day.
Oh, that pancake, the double decker.
Yep. So that I don't remember, but being up in Alaska, I know of a few of them. I was staying in a trailer, so of course you wake up and like the trailer's moving. I was like, oh god, is my cousin fucking somebody in that tiny room there? I hope not. And then I'm like, wait a minute, he's not here. And I was like, and I'm not fucking into it. Oh, it's an earthquake. And then I walked outside and everything's shaking. It's a weird feeling.
Disorient you at all? Does it make you kind of like sick?
No, I didn't get sick. It's kind of like being in a light shop in a boat, you know what I mean, where there's that motion. Maybe it's because I was in a trailer, of course, the back and forth type thing, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Stuff kind of fell a little bit. I mean, it wasn't too major, but the one that they had 2 years ago here in Montana, up in Lincoln, where a lot of my family still lives, that one was nuts. My buddy was having a bonfire, he said, and he's like, I didn't know if I was drunk at the time. He's like, but I hadn't really drank that much. And then I look up, he's like, the ground was shaking, and he looked up and the chimney was just swaying back and forth. And it's a brick chimney. He's like, it cracked the foundation on his brother's house. It fucked up a lot of shit.
Are you more worried about an earthquake or the super volcano? Because you know that you're going to be instantly vaporized if that goes up, right?
I think we're pretty much fucked either way. You know, we're not right on the fault line, but if California and that whole area gets rocked by a big fucking earthquake, it's gonna help accelerate super volcano and shit like that. So yeah, we're gonna be dead either way. Plus there's a refinery in Great Falls, which is about, you know, 10 minutes away from here. So if that exploded, I mean, there's gonna be a big chunk of the ground missing there too. So
yeah, I was hearing about if the volcano in Montana went off, like even if you were far away enough, the ash, the hot ash, and when you breathe it in, it actually like becomes concrete in your lungs and you basically suffocate.
It's crazy how far that travels too. I remember hearing stories from a bunch of people around here and like my mom and a bunch of people that live over in Washington when Mount St. Helens erupted, that there was ash all the way over here. I mean, there was it, that alone, the amount of area that it covers is crazy. So,
all right. So
in the lower part of Montana, it's going to cover a bunch of states.
So we always get into movies, and if for some weird way,
Dante's Peak.
What's better, Dante's Peak or Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones? Because you got to remember that same year you had Armageddon and Deep Impact. So you had two similar movies.
Why did they do that for a while? They did a lot of that summer where they just killed them. Like, remember when they had Wyatt Earp and the one with the Huckleberry one?
Tombstone?
Yes, that both came out around the same time, and nobody went and watched Wired Earp. They went and watched Tombstone.
Oh, yeah, Tombstone, because, I mean, Val Kilmer, best role he ever had.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, let's be real. I mean, it was a completely better movie, but it killed Kevin Costner's Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, it did. But speaking of Kevin Costner, everybody says that he does the same accent all the time. I would be happy with if he would have just stuck to doing baseball movies. Like, what is your favorite baseball movie of his?
It'd have to be Bull Durham.
Yes. I mean, that's one of the most quotable movies of all time.
The other one, For Love of the Game, sucked. The only good thing about that was John C. Reilly as his catcher.
Yeah.
I love anything that John C. Reilly's in. How could you hate that?
Do you remember the movie with Michael J. Fox, Casualties of War, with the Asian girl that, you know, because the soldiers were all horny and stuff, they weren't allowed to leave the base and they kidnapped the teenage girl from one of the villages. John C. Reilly was in that, a very young John C. Reilly and a Sean Penn.
Oh, I don't know, but I guess I'll have to check it out.
Michael J. Fox was like the hero, you know, who would have ever been afraid of him in the Vietnam jungle?
Yeah, they would have.
He could hide in the jungle, though.
Yeah, he could hide in a little trench that's dug out. They wouldn't need a foxhole.
Also talking about similar movies,
yes.
Saving Private Ryan and the movie The Thin Red Line. Do you remember that one?
Yes,
came out. That was very close. That I know it was the same year, but that movie had Sean Penn in it. I mean, it had Cillian Murphy, had a lot of great actors in that movie. Actually, I forget his name. The guy that played the father in the original Hulk movie, Nick Nolte.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Nick Nolte's great.
Yeah, and it was a great movie. I was like, nothing would have beat Saving Private Ryan.
No, I mean, that movie did crazy numbers. Crazy fucking. And it had that cast was insane. Casts sound insane when you think
Michael
about
Madsen
it.
Was in Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, he was. So was Barry Pepper and.
Barry Pepper. Yeah, he was a sniper. That would, yeah.
Barry Pepper's great because he came back. He played Lucky Ned Pepper in True Grit. He didn't have to change his last name.
But, you know, the thing that pisses me off the most about Saving Private Ryan is the pussy that could have saved the one guy and he didn't because he was a coward. Yeah.
Yeah. Vin Diesel pissed me off in that movie.
Oh, Vin was? God damn it.
Young Vin Diesel.
My favorite Vin Diesel movie is Pitch Black.
Really? I would have to say, you know what? It's kind of a stupid movie, but Find Me Guilty is not bad. The one where he plays the mobster that they're all on trial and he chooses to defend himself.
Boiler Room.
Boiler Room's great. He was fantastic in that. What was the other one that he was in with Barry Pepper? Oh, Knock Around Guys. There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that was a Montana movie because they filmed part of it around where I'm at because people were like, we saw Vin Diesel. I was like, bullshit. And I saw fucking Matthew Perry down here fucking fishing by the river.
Yeah, that made me think of Chris Farley fishing down by, you know, with the van down by the river. All right. So I know you're probably, we already talked about this. You're not into the Olympics, but I wanted to get your opinion on Simone Biles. You know, okay.
Yes.
I'm getting a lot of hate for my comment because the swimmer, Katie Ledecky, I mean, she was supposed to win all these golds and stuff. And like, she didn't even podium, I think, on two of the previous events. Then she came back and won gold. And I was like, I sent out the tweet. I was like, well, at least one Olympian doesn't give up when the tough gets going, you know? And everybody was like, oh, well, I got called racist immediately because it was a white swimmer and a black gymnast.
Well, that's the easiest excuse to run with first is you're always racist. But yeah, you know what? That whole deal with her quitting and stuff like that, I don't understand that. To blame it on mental health, if you're just done, that seems kind of like a cop out. You should have continued. Who doesn't have you've been training for how many years, and plus it being delayed another year to compete in the Olympics, and now you're just going to give up and say that your mental health is at stake? That is a cop out. I mean,
hear me out on this, Charlie. Hear me out on this, okay? So look at all the great athletes. You know, all the great athletes, the ones that have that never quit mentality, are ones that lost the big games before they won the big ones, okay?
Yeah.
Simone Biles, like, I think she won like 6 gold medals in Rio.
Yeah.
And that was her first Olympics. I think she got a little bit too big of a head. Mm-hmm. She did not practice. She did not like keep, you know, grinding the way she did, because she was seen at all these events because, you know, she was a big thing. All the celebrities, you can't watch TV without seeing Simone Biles doing a commercial and stuff.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say is that she like probably did not train as hard as she did for the previous Olympics.
You did the Mike Tyson approach, out partying, not training. Maybe not partying, but you know what I mean. Out doing other stuff instead of getting mentally prepared for pommel horse, is it?
Yeah, they don't do the, women don't do pommel horse.
Oh, just men?
Yep. Well, see, they traded that up because they didn't want the men doing the balance beam. Could you imagine, like, if you fucked up as a man and just baby? Yeah, that would be really, really bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. They may be onto something there. But yes, I don't understand why you train that much to just give up. That's like getting all the way to the Super Bowl and then going, you know what? I don't think I can do this. I think I'm just going to, we're down now in it's the second quarter. There's still a possibility of coming back and winning, but I think I'm just going to give up now.
You know what, Michael Jordan, I think he was running like 103 temperature versus the Utah Jazz in the finals. I think he dropped 40 while he had the flu.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one of those people that have come down on her and be like, oh, you should have. It's kind of odd.
But she took a spot.
Yeah. I don't know why you would do all of that, go through all that trouble to just bow out. Because to me, being a somewhat lazy person, that seems like a lot of work to do to just not do that when she could have. Did she just do this to keep her sponsorship thing going and stuff? Is that going to get affected? Because I saw that they came out and said, we're stand behind her 100%.
Of course, because it is a very good excuse, because guess what?
Well, let me ask you,
if you call her out on it, you're the bad guy.
So if they would have had, what was that one gymnast?
Gary Struggs. Is the one that broke her ankle, and then she had to do it again, and she did it on one goddamn leg.
Yeah, and Bobby thought that she was her Valentine and King of the Hill. Speaking of King of the Hill, did you see that Hank Hill's cousin died? Dusty Hill?
Oh, no, I did not. Who is Dusty Hill?
From ZZ Top, the bassist.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I did see that. And then the drummer from Slipknot died as well, too, right?
Yeah, and he was surprisingly young. I thought he was older than 40.
It was like 40, yeah, like 45 or something.
Yeah, that was not, I don't know. I heard that he had a lot of back problems, though. That's why he didn't play that much anymore.
Who is the greatest gimmick band? You know, ones that wear like extravagant costumes or makeup and stuff. Kiss, Gwar, or Slipknot?
I would have to say who made the most money, or in my opinion.
Oh, of course, Kiss made the most money.
Yeah. Because they would put their name on anything.
Coffins, condoms, whatever.
Lunchboxes.
Yeah.
I would have to say Gwar, mainly because I met Odorous at the Artie Lang show one time, and he was super cool.
But, I mean, they put on a performance. Like, they that big monster would, like, eat one of them or something?
Yes. Yes, they would. The only one that I didn't like Kiss for the longest time, and then I didn't have a problem with them. And now as I get older, I do have a problem with them again. And I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit about Kiss. Slipknot was cool. And then their music started changing, and it got, when rock does that, like, it's kind of heavy and then it slows down so you can like,
well, that's Nirvana. Nirvana, they, I mean, not a lot of people realize this. Their whole like lyrics were like low, 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 and then the chorus was always like da 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 da. It hits you.
Don't get me started on them. I think Nirvana is extremely overrated. I mean, if Kurt wouldn't have died, they probably would have been just another band that had some hits. You know what I mean? They would have been on some tour with Alice in Chains and fucking.
All right. Will you admit they kind of got the ball rolling?
No, they did. They did a lot of stuff. But I mean, do you really need to hear fucking Smells Like Teen Spirit like it's a classic rock song? It's not. I don't fucking.
It's not even my favorite song of theirs.
No, there's so many better fucking songs, but you'll hear that, and then you'll hear Van Halen right after that, and then you know what you're going to hear? Probably a Cyndi Lauper song, because nobody pays attention to what they're playing on regular radio.
Some hey.
Stupid fucking formula in a computer.
When you listen to Ron and Fez, I know they did this when I was on The Crow. Every time Smells Like Teen Spirit would come up, they would keep the mics on at the beginning, and they would go, self, high, five.
Oh. No, I remember them doing that. I never understood why they did it, though.
I never asked them.
Well,
is that a shotgun blast to the head joke? I mean, that's the only thing I can really like. I mean, that's a big high five to blow your head off.
That is. You know what? I don't know. And still, that's another thing that I also think is a little fishy. I think he was murdered personally. Because the amount of drugs in his system, there was no way he could pick up a shotgun.
Okay. Yeah, you would have. Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't even been
able to pull back the cock hit. You wouldn't even be able to pull back the hammer.
I've been wasted, not that wasted, granted. And there's still, you lose, after a while, you just lose control of your fucking limbs and you can't do anything, really. Your body shuts down.
Did you like Courtney Love and For Hole? Did you like any of her music?
No, but you know what I did like her in? The People versus Larry Flynt.
Yeah. The top level acting by Woody Harrelson, in my opinion.
Yes, and Norm Macdonald in a tiny cameo as the journalist.
But who was the lawyer? Was it Paul Giamatti or who? I forget. Oh no, it was Ed Norton was the lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, all right.
Good, and she was great in Man in the Moon too. Even though the story was kind of a dick in that, apparently to a lot of people.
Yeah,
that's great.
I heard.
That
but he was like a method actor. He was trying to be a method actor, right? Like he wouldn't be out of character.
Yeah. And one guy's like, fuck him trying to pretend that he's Andy Kaufman. That's just an excuse for him to be a dick on set. Fucking.
And
great.
Now he's all like psychedelic and like, you know,
that's the, you know what? Jim Carrey is, he's a good actor and he's good at what he does, but he's just so go with the wind type. Fucking whatever. I mean, I guess I could be that fucking free spiritually if I had multi-millions in the bank too.
Think about this though, how difficult being the only white guy on In Living Color.
Well, think about how difficult it was for everybody else, because they know that they're not going to get rid of him, you know.
No, because they'd be like, token, oh yeah,
he's the token white guy.
But I mean, he had some great characters. Color
was a great show in general. And then they started, there was a bunch of infighting and.
Why do you got to say in?
IN, not the kind that.
Oh,
you're...
okay. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Stone Biles tweet all over again. No, there was Keenan Ivory was having problems with the network because he didn't want to do what they said. So he wouldn't be there all the time. So the show suffered because of it.
What was your favorite Jim Carrey character from that? I think it was the bodybuilder.
That or Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah, I could see that. He also did a Vanilla Ice character one time, which was actually pretty funny. Yeah.
He was great on that. A young J-Lo got her start as a fly girl on there.
Fly girl. Everybody forgets about the fly girls. Well, listen, man, I know, like, because I'm really laser focused right now because of the Adderall. But I don't even know how long we have been talking for.
I don't know. There's no little counter or anything. So just...
I know there's not. It's been at least 30 minutes and I've already done 15. So I don't want to give away too much stuff.
There you go. Don't.
So, Charlie, tell people how they can find you as well as your YouTube channel.
Okay. Everything is linked up at Real Lame Charlie on Twitter. I have links to
and you have a link in the bio.
No, it's not in the bio, but it's the first thing up there. I will put it in the bio because the bio is not, because nobody's subscribed yet, obviously, because it's a new channel, but it's like YouTube/YZRQ something. You know, it's not an actual fucking thing.
You, but you have to go in. You can change the URL. See, I will say this is the greatest thing about when I was married. My wife, when any new social media came out, like even if it was going to be a flop or not, she would always just hop right on it and she would automatically register Tuttle, T-U-D-D-L-E. And the only one that I do not, I really turned into Bill Cosby. I've been doing that a lot lately. The only one. Yeah. Oh, no. Like you.
Are you running around with some kind of special drinks for the ladies?
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. But
Do you think that he behaves? Who goes to his shows? That's a better question. Would you go to a Bill Cosby show now?
If I did, it would be to heckle him and until I got dragged out by my head.
If he does do a show, the people that are going, is that just morbid curiosity or are you really going to see somebody die on stage? Because I don't think he's going to live very
long.
Yeah,
you can't. Yeah. No. I'm lost now. I was laser focused and now the weed's fighting back. What were we talking about before Bill Cosby? What was I talking about?
Oh, YouTube and how your ex.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, my wife, she registered everything. The only thing that I do not have that is just straight Tuttle is my TikTok. I had to go with Tuttle on the radio because I wasn't married when TikTok came out. So, even my email is Tuttle@gmail.com. Like it's very easy to find.
Yes. And it's not Tuttle01. Everything's streamlined for you, which is super nice.
You know that Ron Bennington was the one that advised me to, because originally I was spelling it Tuttle with two T's because they named me after another radio guy. And Ron was like, well, you know, just in case, you know, you ever get big and this guy wants to see you because we named you after him, just change it to DD.
Yeah. See, Ron knows. Hey, before something happens and copyright comes down, you might want to change that to a couple D's.
Now, the Tim Tuttle that I was named after is now, see, at the time, he was a top 40 morning show host. You know how corny those are.
Yes.
Switched over to country and was now that, what do you think about, and I see I was trying to wrap this up, what are your thoughts on Bobby Bones?
I think that he's
like Delilah or whatever in the morning. I mean, it's just bland.
He could thank his fucking lucky stars every day that he somehow fell into the fucking position that he got, because he was a jerkwater DJ on fucking classic rock stations who got a fucking overnight country shift, and then because people falling out and because of his squeaky clean image is now like on American Idol and hosts fucking a show
Dancing with the Stars.
He doesn't, you know, he does a show now that's so big that he doesn't have to do it live. He's fucking recording that shit.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You know, I used to do a NASCAR racing show because I was sponsored by Daytona International Speedway. And I did a show called Let's Talk Racing. And his executive producer was my producer for my once a week NASCAR show that I used to do. We called him Scuba Steve back in the day, but now he's just, you know, goes by Steve, but he's the executive producer of Bobby Bones. And what really pisses me off is that I'm sure he's making six figures.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure it's light duty. It's easy work. He just goes in there. Everything's already set up because nobody's touching fucking Bobby Bones' studio.
Yeah. And now, all right. So let me ask you this. Speaking of producers, I'm not saying Gary Delabate is not a great producer. Okay. But I mean, Howard Stern is Howard Stern. You know, like if I was the producer of Howard Stern, I could easily book guests. You know, I think the producers that work for the smaller shows that can get the big guests, like Billy the Phone Freak on Ron and Ron, was the best at doing his job.
Yes, I heard that he was notorious for getting good guests, and also just
he would also write down women's license plate numbers and actually find out information about them back in the day. From I heard,
that's what makes you a phone freak. So I mean,
and he's the originator. He's the originator of fighting women, too. Like, I mean, I could say that, you know, he was the OG.
There you go. And you took the Tuttle torch, kept it lit for a while.
All right. Anyways, go to your Twitter account. Tell people what it is once again.
At Real Lame Charlie.
All right, Charlie. Hope you have a wonderful day, and I appreciate you talking.
You as well, and I will talk to you later.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What? What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.